I'm Tom Whalen.
I'm JD.
Of JD and the Day, home team of real estate teams with our second real estate podcast for 2018. We have a guest in the studio, Todd Hilton from Excalibur Title. Is that, I got that right?
Yes, you did, Tom.
Excalibur Title, where are you located?
Downtown Frederick. We have three offices, but one here in Frederick, right on 8 East 2nd Street. We just moved in a few weeks ago.
Okay, but you have been here before.
Yes,
sir. We did a podcast earlier. Mm-hmm. And so before I ask you anything about a title company and why we need to call, you were here to maybe help some people out this morning.
I am.
There's widespread fraud all across all platforms, any business, anybody. And so there's a new deal going on.
There is a new deal. It's going to make the public aware of it. Just give a little warning shout out there for them. There's an app that people download now. It's called a telephone caller ID spoofing app. You can search it on any internet phone app. Application for iPhones or Android phones, and you can download an app on your phone, and then with that application you can put any phone number in and then call someone and appear that you're calling from someone else's business or someone else's phone number. So we had a situation yesterday where one of our clients was called with someone using this spoofing application representing that they were calling from our title company, and it showed up as our phone number on their caller ID. So they thought we were really calling them to say the wiring instructions have changed. We actually have a settlement with them tomorrow. However, fortunately for our client, we warned them that these are the kind of things that are taking place at the time we took their title order. So when they received that phone call, they knew to hang up and call us back at a known number and talk to one of the people they knew in our office to say, this is what happened. I'm confirming, or basically calling to say, was that really you? And of course, we told them, no, it wasn't. You were potentially the victim of a phone spoofing app fraud.
That is unbelievable. Why would an app be available for the bad guys to use?
Well, if you look it up, and do a search for these apps, they say that the apps are available under the guise of privacy. So, maybe you want to make a phone call, but you don't want people to know who you are. Maybe you're calling a company to complain about something, or you want to be anonymous. So the idea is to maintain your anonymity for other purposes, not necessarily for criminal purposes. But of course, the fraudsters are onto the app and figure out how they can manipulate it for their own benefit. So it's just one more thing.
I worry so much about our elderly who seem to be so vulnerable to these kind of scams because they're scared of a phone anyway. And then when somebody starts giving them instructions, they fold unless they have an advisor with them all the time.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's scary because, you get this, say that you're buying your house tomorrow, you're all excited. Yeah, you get a call from what appears to be the title company. You're about to wire $40,000, and then you go and you wire to the wrong place, and then you go to closing, your money's not there, you can't buy your house, you're in default, and you're out $40,000.
So, Todd, are you saying somebody could use J Day's number? Somebody could use WFRE's number?
Absolutely.
To scam somebody?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you have to be on guard 24/7, honestly, especially when it comes to online communication.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, the wire fraud stuff, and Todd can talk about this. It's been huge in the last, two or three years where people are really taking advantage of people that don't understand. And, that's why it's extremely important. You work closely with your title company. You work closely with your real estate agent. And, check in with both and make sure something needs to happen. Because I know, when Todd told me this, I was like, was it one of our clients? The first thing I said. And he was like, no. But, again, that's something you need to let people know. Because now we'll have a staff meeting today or a call. And I'll explain this to all my agents as well that, hey, listen out for this. If your people say something, or tell your people if there's a change, have them call you as well so you can verify, because you just never know. When it comes to wiring, once that money's gone, it's gone.
And you can't get it back.
People ask me why I'm so cynical all the time, but every day I find a new reason to be cynical. You can't believe any phone call.
Yeah.
And so from a layperson, Todd, what's the difference between a title and a deed?
Well, a title is a term. It's referencing that your interest in a property, your ownership. Okay, the deed's the actual formal instrument or the document that describes the property, describes the boundaries through the surveying terminology, so that any surveyor can go out and create a border and show you where your property corners are. It also defines who owns the property. So the deed is a legal instrument that in the state of Maryland an attorney has to sign that represents your ownership interest. So it's called, often referred to as your title in the property or your ownership interest.
And so, Jay, everything that Todd and Excalibur does, you guys don't do this? You work with Todd?
We work with Todd. I mean, one of the things that I definitely think we should chat with him about that's come up in some of our conversations are. And Todd, you can sort of step into this because as an agent, we have to be careful. You know, we're not attorneys. We're not advisors. We're not, you know, we don't deal with all of this. And we deal with it in the transaction, but we always refer to, you know, our partners to try and get things taken care of. But Tom and I were talking about, you know, you have a fence and your fence is on your neighbor's property. It's been there for 30 years. It's open. It's obvious. Or you have a shed that's on the corner of a property. And I said, this stuff happens all the time.
All the time. I've got examples right now, but it's been, I guess, the statute's limitation have worn out.
Well, Todd, you know, you can talk a little bit about how all that stuff works.
If somebody has built a fence, maybe a foot on your property, and you've let it go for a while, what are your options at that point if you want to sell?
Well, you know, the first option you have is to potentially consult a surveying company to get a survey to determine, in fact, if it is on your property or not on your property. So you want to know for sure. And the only kind of survey is a legal instrument that you could use in court to define that is a boundary survey, and they're more expensive. Oftentimes in real estate transactions, people obtain a location survey that might identify that these problems are most likely existing, but it's not a document that you can use in court to definitively argue whether something is encroaching your property or not. Only a boundary survey will do that.
And so if you have questions about this, about a potential neighbor, but you've let it go, you've owned the property for 30 years, do you have any options at that point, or can you still go after people legally?
There are some legal remedies, of course. And in most cases, you can force the encroachment to be removed.
It's best to do that when you buy the house so that after 50 years, you don't want to have a bad relationship with neighbors. You should take care of that before.
That's true.
And so who does somebody call first if they want to purchase the property? Call Jay? Jay calls you? Do they call you? We're looking at this property?
Well, in most cases, the person buying a home through, you know, the residence, they're going to deal with a real estate agent first.
Okay.
And have a relationship and start looking for a house and find the neighborhood and the property that they want. And that relationship will start there. They'll put an offer. You get a contract together. And once the contract's ratified, then that's when typically we'll hear from Jay. Hey, I've got somebody that's buying a house, or we just sold a property. And then they'll inform us, the parties of the transaction, send us the contract, and then we'll start our work.
And your work will culminate in what? A title? A document?
Well, we do a lot of things. But one of the primary things we do is we'll research the historical history of the ownership of that property and how it's changed hands. Typically, we'll go back at least 60 years, and we'll follow the chain of title to make sure that there's nothing that's been missed, something that hasn't been misrecorded, that there's not mechanics liens on the property or potential judgments or tax liens against the property. We'll clear all those things up so that the seller can represent that they have a clear title to what they're selling, so that the buyer's getting what they think they're buying, free and clear of encumbrances. There may also be things like an easement. There could be a utility easement in your backyard where there's an underground utility cable or something that the utility company has access to maintain. So now maybe you can't put a pool in your backyard because there's an underground utility line through it.
Every day I find out more reasons why you need to deal with a pro. I mean, Todd's sitting here looking me in the eye like we're having a conversation. It is going right over my head.
Oh, come on,
Tom. I'm kind of getting the gist of it. I just realize how complicated this is. And these title laws, do they change from state to state just like real estate laws?
They do. Every state's a little bit different. But the gist of it's the same. You know, the common elements are still the same. You're trying to identify ownership in the property, determine what, if any, encumbrances there are, and make them known or disclose them to any potential buyer so that everybody knows in the transaction what they're getting.
That's why you need to call Jay and his team. I have a friend, and that friend has put their house on the market. And I said, well, how do you handle that? Oh, well, I've got a friend who's in the real estate business. And I said, I hope that friendship lasts after this transaction's done.
Oh, yeah. It's the biggest mistake people make is sometimes they'll work with a friend or a family member, and then they realize. I mean, I was just talking with someone in Todd's office. She called me and said, hey, my friend had their family member list their house for sale, and it didn't sell, and now they need help. They made a mistake. They thought it was good to keep it within the family because, you know, someone they knew, they trusted, but they realize when things don't happen the way you want them to, the amount of problems that can come from that is absolutely horrendous. But I would say, like, one of the things we briefly talked about too, you know, part of the title company is to make sure what you think you're buying, you're really buying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not unusual that people think, I mean, even when we went to buy our house, and Todd probably remembers this, we paid and had a boundary survey, and we thought our yard was bigger than what it was because the real estate agent who was representing the seller for the house we were buying told us that, hey, no, the yard goes up to there. We had the survey done, and our yard was at least 20 feet shorter than what the agent represented to us. And my wife actually considered canceling the entire contract, and we were like a week from closing because it was misrepresented what the boundaries were for the yard, and that was throwing off our ability to build a little waterfall into a pond. And we thought we were buying up to a certain part of the back of the yard, and then we found out we're not.
So, Jay, if someone wants to sell a home, is one of the first questions you ask is, can I see the title?
We actually reach out to, when we're dealing with especially estates and things like that, we actually reach right out to Todd and say, hey, can you get all this information for us? What we do ask the seller, though, is if they have a survey, if they have any documents from, if they're on well and septic, what they have from the health department. We collect as much documentation as possible, and Todd's office has been great because, candidly, when we work for a seller, we cannot tell anyone who the buyer needs to use for title. But we have Todd's company do work for us all the time and pulling information on deals that they'll probably never close. But we need to trust that we're actually talking to people who can really sell the property. And if it wasn't for Todd's group doing what they need to do for us, it would sort of throw us off. And, you know, Todd knows about it. Like I said, in his office, I'm on the phone with them all the time. Of, hey, can you pull this? Hey, this person said this person died. Oh, all these people passed away. How do we go about this? Can you see if there's a will? Can you see, you know, is there an estate set up? What needs to be done? We're looking for legal guidance from them on a regular basis. It's not unusual for us to have multiple phone calls a week. So yeah, that we're doing what we need to do.
Yeah. Don't you have a transaction going right now, Jay, where the seller, was it the seller that passed away?
We had two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of them. We were in the middle of a transaction, and the seller passed away on two of our files. And one of them, there was a, and this is a really another sticking and learning point for people. The person passed away. They had a will, but the will was not valid because it was actually notarized, but there wasn't a witness to sign it. And in Maryland, if there's no witness to sign the will, it's not enforceable. So it had to go back to, what is it, the orphans court? Or
yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And, you know, so you don't close on time. You have to get all these things. And realistically, that contract could have become invalid because the person who signed it wasn't the person authorized to sell it. And this was one where we were representing a buyer. So if we were representing the seller, we would have done our due diligence in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we weren't. We assume that most people do what they need to do.
Do we have a legitimate phone number to contact Todd and Excalibur Title?
We sure do, Tom. It's 301-620-1194.
To answer all these legal questions, it's amazing. It is just really complex.
It is. And even, you know, if you guys forget that phone number, you can find it. If you go to dayhometeam.com, we have Excalibur listed on there as one of our preferred companies that we deal with. Same thing if you're thinking about, a lot of people don't think about this, if you're going to refinance, you need a title company. Or let's say you have that situation like you mentioned, Todd. Tom, you're in the house and you think that there's an encroachment issue of somebody who just put a shed on your lot. Contact Todd. Through them, he can put you in touch with and get surveys done and things like that and help give you the guidance. Because that's really something that you need a title company who has the connections to deal with these types of situations. And it's not unusual.
That's true. Let me make one more point along those lines, Tom. When we're done the title exam and we issue what's called a title insurance policy, because once we determine that we're comfortable with the ownership interest in that property, then we write an insurance policy to protect the buyer. It's a title insurance policy only purchased once, and it lasts for as long as you own the property or your heirs own the property. But a policy is also offered. It's called an enhanced policy that covers post-policy encroachments and easement issues, and your insurance policy then would cover those kind of disputes and claims and provide protection and legal representation for you to resolve it after you buy the house.
And so then when it's all said and done, if you found there is an encroachment, who's the bad guy? Does your people contact that neighbor, or do you got to go around the corner and ring the doorbell?
You can contact us and then kind of initiate a claim investigation.
I see.
And then the claims department will then research it and then take it from there.
And if you're going to build a fence or a shed, check it out before you do it, right? I I mean, you have a responsibility to the community to avoid these kind of.
Correct.
And here's the scary thing, though. In Frederick County, you don't need a permit to put up a fence. I was just shocked because we're in the process of getting our fence
Doesn't that go neighborhood to neighborhood? Don't you have to get permission to
by county.
Okay.
So you might need, like in Linganore, you need permission from the HOA, but they're not looking to see where you're putting the fence. And people will try to be cheaper and go with, they don't do the full survey. And you can't really do something off of a guesstimate. You don't want to, because if you have to tear that thing down, you're paying to do it twice.
So it's unfortunate coming into the new year, Todd, from Excalibur has to come in and give us a warning about phone fraud, about a number, an app where people can get your number, and it looks like I'm being called by Excalibur, and they try to get you to wire money somewhere else.
That's correct.
That is so insidious and deceptive. The bad guys are way ahead of the good guys when it comes to this stuff.
We're getting emails and phone calls now at the pace of 2 or 3 fraudulent attempts to our office alone every week.
Every week? Has this been going on for a while, or you're kind of at a crest of this?
3 years ago, it would happen once a month, maybe once every 2 months, where something would happen. We'd get that email that was an obvious fraudster making an attempt. But they're getting better and better at the way they disguise their efforts, and they're more and more frequent every single year.
Thanks for the heads up. It's unfortunate. Jay, we have a home of the week.
Yes, home of the week. 524 West Gateway Drive in Thurmont. This is a short sale. It's a great investment opportunity for somebody. It's a ranch-style home, 3 bedrooms, 2 full baths, under $200,000, right here in Thurmont, built in 1987, and it's all on a third of an acre. So go to WFRE.com, look at Jay Day's Real Estate Podcast. You'll see photos. Again, great investment opportunity getting a detached home in Thurmont for under $200,000.
I'm Tom Whalen.
I'm Jay Day.
I'm Todd Hilton.
Todd, Happy New Year to you and yours. Jay, Happy New Year to you. Home of the Week, thank you for listening to our real estate podcast. Tell your friends all about it, and you can email questions. Go to WFRE.com, find out all about it.